in a series right now on the 23rd Psalm. Last week, we just started with this simple truth, the Lord is my shepherd. He is the one that is leading and directing our lives. We truly make him the Lord of our life and allow him to lead us through life. In every situation, every circumstance, every decision, that we look to the Lord as our shepherd. I want to read verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, I told you last week that it will be a great blessing to you if you will memorize this passage of Scripture. Not just so, hey, I memorize it. You know, it's not like that. But it is about us getting it down in our heart, because this word will be something that will be a blessing to your life, not just right here, right now, but in the years to come. I'm telling you, you will be glad that you know this psalm. Last week, we just memorized the very first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, we're going to stretch it a little further this week. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Would you say that much with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, how many of you think you can remember that after the service today? Okay, well, the rest of you say it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're going to keep going. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You say it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Come on. He leads me beside the still waters. I encourage you to read through this psalm every day during this series and just really get it down in your heart. The heart of this psalm is that we trust the shepherd to lead and direct our lives. We trust him to take care of us. David tells us how the Lord is his shepherd and he takes care of every need in his life through this passage, through this psalm. And I want you to know that if we'll really allow the Lord to be our shepherd, he'll take care of every need in our lives. He's big enough to do that. Amen. There's not anything that he can't do. And I'm telling you, he's big enough to take care of you. He is absolutely trustworthy. Trust the shepherd. See, we can rely on him for safety, for protection, for provision, for blessings, everything that we need, we can rely on him. We just need to learn to trust him more, and we can have great contentment and peace in our life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. We live in an age of want. And it's not even just about material things, but, you know, there's all kinds of things in life that we want. We want to get married, want to have kids, we want a great job, we want a nice house, we want a new car or a new phone. We want, we want, we want. The list is endless of the things that we can want. How can this be? I shall not want. Because we trust the Lord to take care of our needs. He knows what we need better than we ourselves. And we can trust him with all of that. He's trustworthy. So much of the time, our decisions in life become driven by our wants. It's much better in our decisions in life. He's Lord, right? It's much better in our decisions in life if we allow the shepherd to lead us instead of just being driven by our wants. I want to tell you that want will drive you, it will drive you to a place of discontent, to a place where you are stressed and anxious. It will drive you many times into places that God never intended for you to be. So much better when we allow the shepherd to lead us, because he will lead us to a place of contentment and peace. You know, when David says, I shall not want. He's saying, I'm not going to lack for anything. See, the shepherd knows how to take us to a place where we have everything that we need. Do you believe that he can take you to a place where you can say, I shall not want? Amen. Listen, we need to get there. It takes real faith. It takes a deep trust that we trust the shepherd. But I really believe that every one of us, this is for us just as much as it was for David. I mean, it was David, you know, it's not written and recorded in the Word of God for David's sake, but for ours, amen? And here it is. He says, I shall not want. We need to get there where we can say that and mean it from the heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, green pastures, still waters. You see, that's a place of contentment and peace, and he can take you there. Right. I shall not want. See, we just need to say it over our life. In fact, I think we ought to say it over our life every day. I shall not want. We got to get there. It's a place where we trust the shepherd that much. David had realized that with the Lord as his shepherd, he was going to have everything that he needed. Why would it be any different for us? Right. With the Lord as our shepherd, we need to know we're going to have what we need. We trust him to provide for us body, soul, and spirit. He knows everything that we need. Amen. Let the shepherd lead you. I want to say it again, want will drive you. The shepherd will lead you. It's up to you to be willing to follow. But he'll lead you to contentment and peace. Want will only drive you to more dissatisfaction. You know, so many of the rich and famous of our time, it's amazing how a lot of the time people idolize them and we think, oh, you know, if I had what they have, if I could be in their life, boy, I would really be content, really be satisfied. And yet, you know, we see the success, we see the smiles, we see the laughter, the good times. But what we don't see is the anxiety, the stress, the discontent, the sadness that leads so many of those who have been the most successful with an overdose on painkillers and sleep medications. How can this be? Because no matter how much you have, no matter how much you achieve, it will still leave you with something on the inside lacking and wanting. You see, it is a deception to think, well, if I could have that, if I could be like that, if I... No, that's not how you get to that place of contentment and peace. It's by trusting the shepherd. Want is not the answer. He's the answer, amen? He's always the answer. We need to get our eyes on him and look to him and trust him. I shall not want. Want, it'll just drive the peace and contentment right out of your life. Why is there so much discontent? Why is there no peace? Why do people fight and quarrel with one another? They're just trying to get what they want. You know, I know that because that's what the scripture tells me. In James chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, I'm going to read it from the NIV. It's a little simpler. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight and do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You see, we're supposed to take our needs to the Lord. He says you don't have because you don't ask. You're supposed to ask. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, we are supposed to take our needs to God and trust him to take care of our needs. But then he talks about this thing of always wanting more, always, you know, never being satisfied. You want and you don't have, even though you ask. Oh, I asked God, I prayed. He says, because your heart is wrong. Your motives are wrong. And here it is again. You see, we just need to get to the place where we just trust the Lord. We pray, we present our needs to the Lord, and we trust Him to take care of it. David says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That is a place of contentment. You see, sheep can lie down in a green pasture when they are content. As long as they're hungry, they're going to keep eating. They don't want to lie down. When do they lie down in the green pasture? When they're full, when they're content, they have what they want. They don't want. And I'm telling you that we get to the place where we just strive and constantly struggling. And we're anxious and always need more, just never really happy, never really satisfied. No, with the Lord as our shepherd, you see, we come to that place of green pastures where we realize that we have all that we need. In Matthew 6, 31 through 33, Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear?" Now, those first two, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, well, few of us have ever worried about that. And what shall we wear? Most of the men have never worried about that, right? But here's what he says. After all these things the Gentiles seek, well, we might not be seeking those things, the basic necessities of life, but how often we're seeking, we're wanting, we think that some other thing, possession, whatever it might be, we think that's what will finally satisfy. But he goes on, he says, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I shall not want doesn't mean that we have decided we're just going to have to do without. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we don't take our needs to the Lord because, well, we're not going to want anything. We're just going to settle in and accept things as they are, and that's just the way it is. That's not what it's talking about. It means that we trust our Father to take care of us. We're not worried. We're not anxious. We're not fretting over things, but instead, we just trust our Father to take care of us. The one who has it all in the palm of His hand, He holds you in the palm of His hand. You think that He can't take care of you? He can. And so we don't want because we're trusting our Heavenly Father. In fact, it says right there where Jesus is telling us, He says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. You see, we just need to focus on the Lord. And then here's what He says happens. He says, your Father knows the things that you have need of. But then He says, all these things will be added to you. What? All these things will be added to you. Everything you need. We just need to remember this. He's the answer. We focus on Him. We seek Him. All these things will be added to you. He's going to give you everything that you need. Now, we need to understand, the Scripture never teaches that God will give us everything that we ever wanted. It never teaches that. I know that there are a lot of people today that have taught such. They've pulled a verse or a phrase out of context of Scripture. You know, I mean, if you try hard enough, you can make the Bible say just about anything. And the pop theology, y'all make fun of me now, pop theology of the day says, yes, you be a good Christian. Well, you'll just have whatever you want. And they say things like, you can write your own ticket with God. I want to tell you that kind of false teaching disillusions people. There are a lot of people that are disappointed. They think that somehow God has let them down because they believe these false teachings. And, you know, it doesn't take very, you don't have to go very far with this line of thinking to figure out that that's baloney. Let me just do it this way, all right? I want $1 million. No, that's not much money anymore. Well, I want $10 million. Well, this guy, he's got 80 billion. I want $1 billion, God. I want $1 billion. What do you think? You think I'm going to get it? I'll get it if that's what the Lord leads me to, what he had for me. But just because I want $1 billion, I want to tell you, money has destroyed more people and more families than just about anything.
That's right.
Okay. You know what? I want to be taller. I see these young men walking down here, cross paths with them. Here, as I'm walking over here to sit down, and I'm like, man, you guys are tall. What happened to me, Lord? I want to be taller. I want to be able to dunk a basketball. What do you think? You think I'm going to get that? See, that's just silliness and foolishness. You know, I like the spring, especially love the fall. I don't like these Texas summers. I want to skip it this year. What do you think? See, this is just foolishness where we start thinking, well, I just get anything I want that God, you know, that's not what it teaches. What we need to understand is we trust the Lord to take care of our needs. He knows what we need.
Yes, he does.
He knows what will really bring us peace and contentment.
Amen.
Much better than we ourselves. Now, when the Israelites were in the wilderness because they didn't believe God to go into the promised land, the Lord miraculously provided for them every day. Every morning there would be manna that was food for them, and they would go out and gather it, except on the Sabbath they gathered twice as much the day before. But God provided this for them miraculously. Miraculous provision. And yet they became disgruntled. They began to complain about it. They were tired of this manna and they wanted some meat to eat. Now I can sort of relate to that. I don't understand a vegetarian. I love you, but I don't understand you, okay? So I can understand them wanting some meat to eat, but they complained and they complained. In fact, the Bible says they wept. Good grief. I guess it was a really long time that they ate this manna, but I just got to tell you, I can't imagine crying over wanting some meat. I mean, if I have to go a whole month without Mexican food, I get a little cranky, you know, but I ain't going to cry about it, Lord. I don't really understand that. But here's what happened. You see, they complained and complained and complained until God finally gave them what they wanted. And I see that happen in a lot of people's lives today. They think they know what they need, and they complain and complain and complain, and sometimes God gives them what they want, and they don't end up liking it.
That's right.
God told the children of Israel, he says, you're going to eat meat, and you're going to eat it for a whole month until it comes out your nostrils. And it becomes loathsome to you. Until you can't stand it. You see, that is what happens when we allow want to drive our lives.
Right.
We end up with things that maybe God never intended for us. And when we get it, we're still not happy.
Right.
You want that job. Oh, I want that job so bad. That's the job. I want that job. And then you get it. And it turned out not to be the way you thought it was going to be. And you wish you could go back to your old job. You're just looking for something else now. Discontent again. Want that spouse, that certain person. Listen. There's nothing wrong with wanting a spouse in context of allowing the shepherd to lead you. But it's got to be him leading you, not just your desire driving you. There's a big difference. I want to tell you the truth. There's a lot of people, they get married, and after they're married, they're like, well, this is the way I thought it was going to be. They're discontent again. and end up in divorce court. I'm just telling you that we need to allow the Lord to lead and guide our lives instead of being driven by want and complaining. See, when we complain, we're basically telling the shepherd, you're not doing a good job. You want to give the God of the universe a little advice about how he needs to handle your life. So we complain. No, we're to be a grateful people. We should be thankful every day for God's blessing and provision. But you see, want will drive you to discontent. I shall not want. I'm not telling you this morning to just accept things as they are. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, we pray and we believe God, but I want you to understand that what's important here is that we are trusting the shepherd to lead us to the place that we need to be, that he'll show us how we need to change our life and what we need to do, the decisions that we need to make. And I'm just telling you that we got to trust God to provide for us, and then we're thankful and grateful for his provision. We got to say with David, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The attitude of the world is it's just never enough. How much is it going to take to make you happy? A little more. A little more. We get a little more, and guess what? It's not long until. What's it going to take now? A little more. A little more. A little more. Living in the land of Ur. The land of Ur. We want newer. We want better. We want bigger. We want nicer. Faster, prettier. The land of Ur is a miserable place to live. Always wanting more. How much better to live in the blessing of the Lord, where we just lay down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. So much better. Hebrews 13:5, how many of you believe the Word of God? Most of you, that's good. How many of you believe that it speaks to us today? Amen. Amen. Let your conduct, your lifestyle, be without covetousness. Okay, here it is. Be content with such things as you have. How many of you believe that? Amen. Not as many hands. Listen, I'm not interpreting, I'm not commenting. It just says, be content with what you have. I'll leave that between you and God, but here's what I want you to understand. We can get to a place where we actually are content. Amen. Or we can stay frustrated and always looking out there, someday I'll finally be content. And I want to tell you though, you let the Lord lead you and guide you, it's going to get easier and easier for you to be content. Be content with such things as you have. You see, advertisers spend billions and billions and billions of dollars to make you discontent. They want you to feel like you can't really be happy if you don't have their product. I mean, you'll be missing out somehow if you don't have this. That's what they do. That's how they sell. You need what I got. It's not just advertising. Thanks to television and the internet, we can see what everybody else has. Not even just material things. We see other people's life, how perfect it is, how good it is. Well, I got to tell you, most of the time, that's what they post on the internet. Is all the good stuff. I mean, every once in a while you'll see some sadness, but I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of, if you're looking at social media, 99% of the time people are just posting the good stuff, and we can look at that and we can think, Well, gee, I wish my life was more like that. Discontent. Luke 12:15, Jesus says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Listen, when Jesus says, "Take heed, beware," we need to pay special attention. Jesus says, beware. Don't allow covetousness in your heart where you're always wanting what somebody else has, wanting more. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. See, you can work hard, earn your money, and then go out and buy possessions. You can buy food, clothing, and cars, homes, just about anything. But I want to tell you, there are some things that money can never buy you. It can't buy peace, and it can't buy contentment. In fact, it seems like a lot of the time, the more we have, the more we want, and the more we have to worry about. We got to trust the shepherd. Our Father knows what we need. And he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us abundantly, provide for us. He wants to bless us materially. And when he does, we rejoice, we're grateful, and we share with others. Amen. But don't covet stuff. Don't love money. Realize that he's taking care of you. We live in a generation of discontented people. And really, it can just be at any age. One person said it this way: "I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom to do what I wanted. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, the respect, the maturity. I was 30, but I wanted the wisdom and sophistication of middle age. I was middle aged, but I wanted to go back to 20, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without physical limitations. And then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted." That's the way a lot of people live. They never really get what they want. And when they do get what they want, they don't stay content with it very long. They want whatever's next. Somebody said the key to happiness is not getting what you want, but wanting what you have. Oh, there's some truth in that. We read it, Hebrews 13:5, be content with what you have. So how do we get contentment and keep it? Philippians 4:11 through 13. The Apostle Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need," the King James is "want, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, there's a verse that so often is quoted in a different way, used for all kinds of weird things, but in its original context, he is talking about that whatever the situation, the circumstance, the battle that he faces, the Lord gives him the strength that he needs to get through it. But he says this, he says, "I have learned to be content." You can learn to be content. I know a lot of us, we're really struggling with being content. We can learn. The Apostle Paul did. He said, "I have learned to be content." We need to learn to be content. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in. You see, we go through difficulty and challenges and obvious needs, and here's the thing, we can still be content when we know that the Lord is our shepherd, that he's taking care of us, he's watching over us, we're going to be just fine. A few verses later, Paul says in verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Trust the shepherd. Let him take care of you, body, soul, and spirit. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me He leads me. Is he leading you?
Yes.
He leads me beside the still waters. Still waters for sheep is a place of peace and rest. Sheep don't do well around running water. Fast-moving water is dangerous to sheep. It stresses them. It makes them anxious. And so much of the time, it seems like we allow our lives to become so frantic and hurried and chasing after this and chasing after that. We end up stressed and anxious. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. We're not ever supposed to be anxious. If there's something that would make us anxious, it says that we take it to God in prayer. But you see, sheep don't do well when they're stressed and anxious. Neither do people. We don't do well physically. We don't do well mentally or emotionally, and we certainly don't do well spiritually when we are stressed and anxious. That is not the way we're designed. That's not the way that we're supposed to live. Our Father, he wants to lead us beside the still waters, a place where we can rest, be refreshed, we can relax, and we have peace. You know, David went through all kinds of conflict and battles, struggles. He lived in a real world. We all have battles and struggles and conflicts. You know, if you read the rest of Psalms, that many of them David wrote, you see that he went through such difficult times and sad times and scary times, but he knew the Lord as his shepherd this way, that he could lead him to a place of rest and peace. And you need to know that he wants to lead you into a place of rest and peace. Yes, you're still going to have battles and conflicts and trouble, but you got to know how to go to that place of rest and peace. You got to let the Lord lead you beside the still waters. There's a peace that's available to us. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." It's not a peace on the outside. It's a peace that we have even in the midst of trouble and problems in our life. We're not supposed to be stressed, anxious, worried all the time. Psalm 95 and verse 7 says, "He is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." You see, we're under his care. I want you to know, as his sheep, he knows how to take care of us. And there's not anything he can't do. We sang this morning about how the frame of the universe bows at his name. He spoke it all into being, holds it all in the palm of his hand. He holds you in the palm of his hand. Why do we not trust him more? Why do we ever doubt that God will take care of us? We just need to trust the shepherd. I want you to understand something. I really respect and admire hard workers. I don't know, it's just the way I was brought up. I've always just kind of been inclined this way. And I'm going to throw this out there. Laziness is a sin. It's a sin according to the scripture. But sometimes we can allow ourselves to become so driven and push so hard that we miss that place of peace and rest that the shepherd would lead us to. We need to realize it's important that we have that time where we rest and we have peace. You know, sometimes people work such long hours, they take a second job. And, you know, I remember as a young man, as a youth pastor, You know, I want to provide, be a good provider for my family, and I would mow yards on the side. And I want you to understand, sometimes maybe the shepherd leads you to take a second job or to do something extra to provide for your family. But we just got to be careful that it's really the shepherd leading us and not us just being driven by our own want. See, I look back at that time when my kids were little, and I don't know. I don't know if I, for sure, that I did the right thing. Was it that big a deal that we had a little bit nicer, a little bit better? What I do know is that that time goes so fast. And I also know this, that kids like stuff, but what really makes a kid happy is not stuff. It's you. And I'm just telling you, we can't just allow this culture to sweep us away with this attitude all the time. Want more, I need more, gotta have more. Instead, we look to the Lord as our shepherd. We trust the shepherd that he will lead us and guide us to a place of contentment, a place of peace and rest and refreshing. He says in Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Well, there's a challenge for some of us, just to be still and know that I am God. Guess what? We're not. He's God. Be still and know that I am God. You see, we can get to the place where we're robbed of family time. We're robbed of times of rest. We need that. We're robbed of the time we need to be involved in the work of the Lord to let God use us. We're robbed, and this is worst of all, robbed of our time alone with the Lord, with the shepherd. Be still and know that I am God. I believe that some of us, maybe all of us in some way, we need to make a change today. You know, the Bible has a real ugly religious word for that. It's called repentance. We need to repent. We need to be serious and make a change in our life in response to God's word. We need to repent of our constant want and say with David, I shall not want. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. What sin? Covetousness? Always living in want? Doing it your way? So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures evermore. You see, what want keeps us from? There's joy, fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures evermore. I'm telling you, we need to come to that place by the still waters, alone with the Lord, and just let him refresh, let him satisfy our soul. All of this comes down to trusting the shepherd. Psalm 34, 8 through 10 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. What is this about the young lions lack and suffer hunger? They're the ones that are supposed to be able to easily provide for themselves, to easily get what they want. And I want to tell you that in this world, it doesn't matter how gifted you are, how talented, how smart you are, how strong you are, how much of a go-getter you are, you will never find the peace, the contentment that the Lord can give you. on your own. We need him. We need the shepherd. And he says it so clearly, so plainly. He says, there is no want to those who fear him. And then he says, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Wow. What a wonderful promise from the Word of God. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So how can we have this peace? Trust. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You see, we just need to trust him more. I shall not want. I'm trusting the shepherd. I'm trusting him. He's going to lead me where I need to be. He's going to help me make the right choices in life. One children's worker was teaching her class, and she asked the class, she says, is there any of you that know the 23rd Psalm? A little 4.5-year-old girl, she raised her hand. She said, I do. And the teacher said, well, come up here and say it for us. The little girl came to the front of the class, and she took a little bow. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. She bowed again, and she went and sat down. Now, I think she might have missed a few verses, but she got the heart of the song. He's all I want. When we understand who he is, he's everything. He's all I want. I encourage you this morning, get free. Get free from the prison of want. Get to that place where you can say with David, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want to testify to you this morning and just tell you that, you know, many, many ways I've just always been so driven and self-motivated to an extreme sometimes and push myself and push. And, you know, I want to tell you, I want to reach people. I want to see lives changed. I know that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to make disciples. And I want to see the church grow. Jesus is building his church. It's not in decline. He's building his church. At the same time, I'll tell you, I've had to come to a place where I'm not just driven by want, but I am content with the blessing of the Lord and what he has done in my life. You see, I count myself as a blessed man. I count myself as such a blessed pastor. I am so content and grateful and thankful. Yes, I believe God's going to do more, but I am so content with what he has blessed me with. I am so thankful. He's so good to me. He's so gracious. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's something real, something very powerful there, something very deep there. Because to delight yourself in the Lord is more than a lip service thing that you just say you are. No, it is when he truly is all you want. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.